Hey, what's up, everybody? You're listening to Weekly Disruption Pacific Underground's all-new weekly, where we go over some of the headlines that made the news over the last week. We're here to disrupt headlines affecting API communities. We're also here to highlight how other APIs are doing their own disruptions. This week, we're just going to talk about all the things that made me go, and also the things that made me go, yay! I'm your host, Jenna Yokoyama. I'm joined here with my other lovely co-host,
Tabitha Teo.
So let's get disruption started, shall we? Okay, I'm just going to say we're going to start off with something a little bit heavy this week. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Corinne Gaines, who unfortunately made the news this last week. She was killed in her home by SWAT.
Where did this take place?
This took place in Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh.
So I know it's like, hey, this is Weekly Disruption by Pacific Underground. What are you guys talking about? You know, you guys are an API show. So let's just put it out there. You know, hashtag agents for Black Lives, hashtag APIs for Black Lives. When you disrupt, it's not just about, like, you know, disrupting the things that just affect you. It, like, it affects us all. And those, when we got a voice, we got to disrupt it. So let's just say that.
Yeah, and we want to show our solidarity and our support for the African-American community, for the Black Lives Matter campaign.
Yeah, so we're here to disrupt it because here's why we know it needs to be disrupted. Not like a week before in Virginia, this man, this white man, got to have a 67-hour standoff in his home. So he got like this multi-day, hey, let's all take naps.
Yeah,
and then it ended peacefully.
Yeah. But with this young Black lady, no, we're just going to bust down her door.
Oh, and shoot her and her son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, so we're just going to put that out there. Like, we got to disrupt this one.
It's pretty sad.
It's sad. It's, it is angering. We're just going to leave it there and just say that it's angering and everyone continue to disrupt it.
Yeah.
Agents for Black Lives.
Yeah.
I think we need to point out the important part of this story that the mainstream media seems to just be ignoring for no reason. Mm-hmm. Well, reasons, we all know. Anyhow, it's the fact that they're blaming her. Oh, she pulled a gun, blah, blah, blah. But let's face it. If you are a Black woman in this country, would you want to be arrested and pulled out of your home by the SWAT team either?
Especially for something that was so minor. It was for a bench warrant.
And then the SWAT team is showing up. Under what impression are you being given that you are going to be allowed to stay alive for the next 48 hours? That you aren't going to die in jail mysteriously?
Yeah.
Like Sandra Bland, you just like, I mean, your narrative just gets erased.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so frustrating. And so, you know, that's why we got to say her name. We got to say her name, Corinne Gaines. Everybody keep her name. Just keep her name on your mind. Okay, so let's move on to something good that happened in terms of disruption. Kazir Khan, we talked about him last week at the DNC. Yeah, he did the awesome speech.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Had a pocket constitution.
What happened after it, Tabitha?
Criticized by Donald Trump. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, and then the Khan family came back and they were like, oh, excuse me, we're awesome. We got to disrupt this. And so his wife, you know, who Donald Trump was like, oh, I bet she can't even say something. She was like, fuck you, I can say something. I'm going to write a gigantic op-ed in the Washington Post on Sunday. And I got a little quote of her. Let's see what it says here. It says, she said, when Donald Trump is talking about Islam, he is ignorant. If he studied the real Islam and Quran, all the ideas he gets from terrorists would change because terrorism is a different religion. Donald Trump said he has made a lot of sacrifices. He doesn't know what the word sacrifice means. Boom, mic drop. Like, you can, like, hear it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she just does it. And it was so good to, like,
Has Donald Trump had a child serve in the military?
Exactly. I mean, like, her article or her op-ed was titled, I'm a Gold Star Mother. Like, that title alone was just like, don't F with me.
Yeah.
And I fucking loved it.
Where does Donald Trump get off criticizing our veterans or our troops?
Dude, where does he get off criticizing a baby? He kicked out a baby.
A what?
Yeah, he kicked out a baby out of his rally this week.
Man.
Yeah, no, but
why?
Like, 'cause the baby was crying?
Was the baby or the mom brown? Were they brown?
No, they're white.
What?
Yeah, and so he kicks out this baby because the baby, you know, is probably like a loser or whatever excuse he comes up with because, you know.
A loser just like John McCain for his fault for getting captured and becoming a POW.
Anyhow, so yeah. Thank you, Khan family, for disrupting Donald Trump.
If you want to interview us, let us know. Just saying.
What? Donald Trump? You want
to interview him? No, the Khan family.
Okay, yeah. I was about to say, like, dude, Tabitha, you're going like way out there. I'll go there with you, but We're gonna have to like do some like stay meditation before that moment. We're gonna have to like
so Mr. Trump
do some kickboxing to get out like energy and aggression out before, or maybe they'll just hype me up. Okay, so let's talk about some news that came out of here at the Pacific Northwest, and this one just also
is
falls,
it the anger category?
It is, and it's like the sadness category because like you know we're Pacific Underground, we're out of Portland, Oregon, and it's just so frustrating when stuff happens around us, you know, because we already live in the whitest city in America. And you know, right outside of Seattle, a 19-year-old woman named Anna Bowie was shot by her ex-boyfriend at a party, and unfortunately her along with two others lost their lives. Okay, so we are here to call this out, to like call it what the mainstream media is not effing calling it. They're not calling it toxic masculinity. They're like almost victim blaming her. Like, oh, well, they had a really bad breakup. This happens over and over and over again. I mean, it happens in every single community in the United States. And it's just like, okay, call it out, everybody. Let's call it what it is.
Toxic masculinity.
This is not saying that we hate men. Like, this is a problem for men, too.
It is. Because we raise these men to the only response they can have is anger. So they're going to respond in anger when their masculinity is challenged or it's threatened.
I mean, it's just like what, you know, we don't know what this man was thinking, like what the motivations are. But it's just like, do you feel like you owned this woman? Obviously, you felt like you owned her life because you took it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's not to make light of anything. It's just, okay, but...
I'm also curious about, like, the economic situation of these people.
You know, because... but that's what is so aggravating to me, is that the background of all these different shooters and, you know, murderers, let's just put it that way, you know, is really varied. They don't necessarily have wealth or, you know, or they come from a
access
lower
to
class.
Education
it's just
resources.
The thing that they have in common, because it comes from so many different backgrounds, the thing that they all have in common is toxic masculinity. And but no, let's just keep blaming it on terrorism or a breakup or whatever, and it's just not solving the problem. I don't know how much you can really solve it just by calling it out, but it's part of the step of calling it out. Tabitha and I have called it out to death here. Okay, let's move on to some lighter stuff because we need some lighter stuff.
Yes,
and because you're joined by the nerds, we have some awesome stuff to talk about.
Yay, nerd news.
Okay, first we're going to talk about the because we want to end it on the So the part is I have been waiting to talk to you, Tabitha, about this. Like,
Okay,
get ready for the big heavy question.
Okay.
What is your opinion about animated films that are about API stories, but they don't use API actors? Okay, and my example that it is Kubo and the Two Strings is coming out, and it's a story that takes place in Japan. And
I really want to see it, but you're going to break my heart, aren't you, about it?
Well, of course, because that's what, like, I do. I do. I ruin all movies for you, Tabitha.
You ruined John Williams for me, too.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I got to disrupt it.
Okay.
I got to ruin it. Okay, so Kubo and the Two Strings is all white cast except for two Japanese Americans, of which is Jor Takei and Kerry Hiroyuki Tagawa, who most people know as Ching Sung in Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat!
Yeah, exactly. And basically, if you don't really know who he is, you know him as one of those older Asian gentlemen that you see as one of the older Asian gentlemen in all movies.
Who's supposed to be wise.
Yeah, and who's always wise. Yeah,
and knows kung fu.
Yeah, when you need somebody with like a deep voice, like Kerry Hiroyuki Tagawa comes in. The problem I have with this movie is like all the main, like the young voices are being played like by people like Charlize Theron, like Kubo's being played by an Irish actor.
For a Japanese character?
But, you know, when they want the old... wise Asian man sound, that's when they actually get two API actors. Okay, and then it was announced that Willem Dafoe is going to be playing Ryuk in an animated version of the manga Death Note. I have a problem with that because that is a Japanese character that comes from, like, you know, Japanese ideas of gods and blah, 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 and all that sort of stuff. And then Willem Dafoe?
Like, I do have a problem with celebrity casting because I think it first takes away work from voice actors. And I know for me, I sometimes have a hard time separating like the actor from the character, such as Toy Story. I first saw it in theaters. I'm that old. And at the time when I was a kid, I didn't know that was Tom Hanks or Tim Allen doing the voices. I just saw Woody and Buzz.
Wait, did you never see Home Improvement before that?
I watched Home Improvement when it was on TV, but like I just didn't make the connection until someone told me several years later that that's Tim Allen and Tim Hanks. Like, whoa. And now it's like whenever I watch Toy Story, I love Toy Story, but like I now have this hard time seeing like Woody or Buzz. I just see like Tom Hanks or
Tim
Allen.
Right, because like when you see Kubo, you're going to hear Charlize Theron's voice, especially when you hear like George Takei. You're going to recognize these things.
Yeah.
Okay, so like why we got to call it the disruption on this is at least this is my take on it, okay? You know, when we watched movies, say like back like in the 80s or, you know, if you are old enough to remember before the 80s, like the 70s, I know people don't have to admit that maybe they're that old. You know, before animated films didn't have actors attached to it, like famous actors at least. So you didn't have the face, right, attached to it. So now when you put people in, like Jack Black as a panda, or you put in Charlize Theron as a Japanese person, what you're doing is you're associating famous white faces with an Asian story, and like there is no excuse. I'm sorry. Yeah. There are so many API actors. If they want a famous person, get Constance Wu, who is kicking ass this week, by the way. Let's just put it out there. Like, we talked a little bit about the Great Wall last week, and then Constance Wu came out with this like freaking kick-ass response to it, where she was just like, I'm sorry, but white faces are not the faces of our heroes. Like, we do not need white savior complex.
Yeah. It's just like the Great Wall, how white people are make like universal stories. If you're like an Asian actor or maybe like an African actor, you're just for like African people, but it's not telling like a universal story. Only white people can tell like universal human stories.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, hey, let's just keep attaching those white faces to all those Asian stories because that makes so much sense. So that's the but the yay is that Suicide Squad came out.
Yay.
And even though there's a whole controversy behind the reviews and blah, 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 and like Google that or, you know, Twitter that if you want to see what that's all about. But
Jared Leto as the Joker.
And that's, I love him. I know this is like a show for APIs and about APIs, but Jared Leto, I love you so much.
He was really good in Requiem for a Dream.
I know.
And oh my God, that movie. I only saw that movie once and I really only needed to see it
once. God, we're going off on tangent on Jared Leto.
Sorry.
Let's get back to Suicide Squad and talking about the actress that we really want to be talking about, who is Karen Fukuhara.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So they actually, these are people who know how to do it. She plays Katana.
Ooh.
And so what's awesome is like, here's somebody who's doing it right. Here's a film that's doing it right. When you
kudos
have an API.
Kudos to the casting director.
Yeah, exactly. When you have an API character, why don't you use an API? And what I thought was also awesome was that they weren't like, hey, oh, it's an API character. Let's find a Korean person or a Chinese person to play a Japanese character with a Japanese name. No, they actually like found a Japanese-American person who was bilingual to like play the role.
Yay.
And I know that this shouldn't be news. This should not be revolutionary, but it is.
But it is.
And it's awesome. And it makes me yell happy. Yay. Go Suicide Squad.
Are you going to see it for Karen Fukuhara?
I'll probably just see it just because I want to see Suicide Squad. I want to see if it's as awesome as the previews make it look. And I've been hearing good things. Okay, last thing, real freaking quick. Tabitha took me to go see the Star Trek. If
Woo-hoo!
You listened last week, I hadn't seen it yet. I saw it. I have very mixed feelings. But the one thing that I loved in terms of API-ness and API-ness disrupting all the crap that's happening in the world.
So many APIs.
I know. There was the scene where you saw Sulu with his partner and his daughter. And it was like, oh my God, there's three Asians on the screen at the same time. And this has got to be like a Guinness record.
Yeah, and it was also in a crowd scene too. So there are a lot of extras in the background, so who knows how many
there might have been like five.
I know,
or maybe four, but even if there was four, that would have been amazing.
I know.
And so then, I did like that.
Yeah. And then just a few seconds before that, there it showed
the green alien Asian kid.
And directed by Justin Lin.
This was like the most API'd out Star Trek movie ever.
Woo-hoo.
Yay, because there were three people standing together and I honestly loved it. Okay, that's the exit music. That's like, okay, you guys have disrupted enough for this week.
Stop talking.
I know.
We're getting played off like at the Oscars.
Oh my God, just like, hurry up, grab your statuette and put on 10 more of your friends to say thank you. Oh my God, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Weekly Disruption. Yay. yeah, we're a weekly podcast by Pacific Underground. Join us next week where we'll talk about all the happenings in the news. Oh, Pam and I are going to go sacrifice ourselves and our sanity because we are going to go see the AbFab movie.
Oh.
I know. We're going to go check out the...
Yellow Faces comedy.
Yeah, exactly. The Yellow Face. It's so funny. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, we'll talk about that and more. We'll dissect it. We'll get angry at it. We'll laugh at it and we'll... Yeah, we'll effing disrupt it. So don't forget to subscribe to our regular podcast to get all of our audio. You can find that on iTunes and
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud, there we go, at Pacific Underground. You can check us out on Facebook and Twitter at PAC Underground. Pacific Underground is a production of KBOO Portland. A special thanks to Chops for our music this
week.
Thank you, Chops. Find his music on Tumblr at Chops Music. And as always, thank you to Kathleen Stevenson, the queen of the AM at KBOO.
We love you.
And to KBOO Community Radio for the studio space, love, and support. We fangirl you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Jenny Yokoyama.
And I'm Tabitha Teo.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.